Can you hear me?
Yes, you can hear me now. Good morning, everyone. Earlier in the year, we were privileged to have Mark DuPont with us, and it was lovely to share in church under his teaching and ministry. And he was speaking to us especially about becoming more aware of God's Holy Spirit and God's Holy Spirit moving in the supernatural. And that really challenged me at the time. And over the course of the week that he was with us in here in Durham, travelling backwards and forwards to work, in the school where I work, just along the road from the school, there was, used to be, a public house, which had been up for sale for many, many years. And suddenly during that week, building work began to happen outside that public house. Bricks arrived, wire arrived, all sorts of things. And I began to wonder, what on earth is happening here? Began to explore a little bit with some of my governors at school, and they were saying, it's going to be turned into houses, into homes. So complete renovation, complete transformation. As I went past each day, it was amazing to see more and more building equipment arrive, windows coming out, doors coming out, things being bricked up that you didn't expect to be bricked up. And it was really hard to actually go past, and I began to think, well, if I'd been the architect, I wouldn't have been doing that, and I wouldn't have been doing this. I would have done it this way, or I would have done it that way. And during the week, God really began to speak to me during my waking moments and also during my sleeping moments. And I think I'm betwixt that age group at the moment where young men see visions and old men dream dreams, because God just wouldn't leave me alone. And at the end of the week, when Mark had been with us, I shared with Ian during the last service something that I felt God had really laid on my heart. And at the time, Ian asked me just to write that down so that we could share it at some point here in church. And today is that day to share that word. I thank James for his word earlier, because it really confirms what God, I feel, is saying to us as a church at the moment. I met with Ian about a week ago, and he asked me afterwards to look back at what I'd written at the time to see if it could be condensed in any way. So I apologized straight away, because I emailed him back and said, I don't think God wants us to shorten what he wants us to hear this morning. So this is, I feel, God's word to us as a church today. In my vision, I can see a house, which is clearly a house. It has walls, windows, doors, a roof, but it also has many missing sections. Bricks are missing from the walls, glass from the windows, holes in the walls where the window frames ought to be, doors missing in some rooms. Floor joists are missing, which means in some rooms you cannot stand, but it's still discernible as a house. Those who look upon it can see the beauty of the house. Its grandeur is apparent, and those who look upon it rejoice at what they see and what has already been constructed. However, around the house are piles of bricks, stacked near gaps in the walls, doors propped against the doorposts but not fitted, glass standing beneath partly glazed windows. In my vision, the bricks, glass, floor and roof joists, floorboards, cladding, all begin to rise, take their place within the partly finished structure. They move of their own accord, but each shows no hesitation and simply flies to the place where it fits perfectly, where it's secured by mortar, screws, or nails. The house is then complete. Its purpose can now be fulfilled. Its real beauty and grandeur is seen by all around and attracts many who come to gaze upon it. They are drawn by its beauty in the day and the light and warmth which come from it at night. Many come and enter through its front doors. Inside they find shelter, a stronghold, and a peace which is beyond compare. I believe that God has shown us that we are that unfinished house. Many can see the beauty, many can see the grandeur, and many have been involved in its construction. Each of us is part of that house. Some are already in place and fulfill their roles, giving the house its current beauty and grandeur, but many more are like the bricks which are piled around the house, the doors propped against the frames, the glass piled beneath the window frames, the joists stacked outside the unfinished rooms. They sit waiting for someone to come and place them in the house. But God's saying that waiting time is over. It's time to take your place. Through His Spirit, He wants to reveal your part within the house. Through His Spirit, He wants to move you into your place. The conditions are right now. Now. Not next week, next year, now. And God has chosen His place for you. We must allow His Spirit to move us into that place. This placing of God is of God and is not of man. There are some who think they know where they want to be, who wish to be a visible brick or item which everyone can see. But God says, I have chosen your place in my house. Seek my will, not yours. Others say, but I cannot possibly be of any importance. I have no value in the house. God says, I have chosen your place, and the house is not complete if you are not there. In the house, every brick, pane of glass, wooden joist, door and board has a role. Some are visible, but others stand alongside, supporting each other, hidden, unobtrusive. But without them, the house would fall. A window without a glass, without glass allows the cold to enter. A wall just one brick thick is weak. The inner wall supports the outer. The floor would fall without the joist beneath to support the weight above. Below it all are the foundation stones. Once laid, hidden forever, but if they were not in place or one of them was removed, then the whole structure would fall down. Emmanuel, we are that house. And each of us has a part to play in God's purpose. His purpose for the church, Emmanuel, to be fulfilled. Believe this truth, just as each brick and each item which makes a house is selected and counted by the architect so that his blueprint becomes a reality, so God has designed his church, our church. You are vital and an integral part to the role which God has prepared for us. Allow his Spirit to take you from that pile of bricks, that stack of boards, that pile of glass, and fit you into place. God wants to complete the building of his church, and you have a vital part within it. Don't sit waiting. Rooms are incomplete without you in place. The full beauty, the grandeur, the purpose of his church is not evident when you are missing. Equally, it's not able to fulfill its purpose on earth if it remains incomplete. Now is the time to be moved by God's Spirit into place. Not next week, next year, but now. In faith, God asks us to step out. Be guided by His Spirit. He knows just where you fit, and it's a perfect fit. Only you can fit into that place. No one else, and without you, it is incomplete. Peter says to us, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by human beings, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are, we are, the people of God.
It's time to take your place. That word is going to be, I've got a few printed out in the foyer there, but we're also going to upload it to the website where we have the sermon download. So please can I encourage you to look back at that, to reflect and pray into that word and see what God is wanting to say to you. You may have seen me furiously crossing out things earlier on to shorten the sermon down, which I have done so. So I wanted to focus particularly on this 1 Peter passage that Stephen brought out there, because these verses just wonderfully describe, this is 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 down to 10, they wonderfully describe what God has done for us. That we are the temple of God now. We are the dwelling place of God. There's no longer, you have to go to a temple in Jerusalem, but as Christians, we are that temple. We are bringing God's presence into the world. Wherever we are the aroma of Christ. We are bringing God's presence into the place where he has put us. We are the priesthood. We are priests now, able to accept sacrifices to God. We don't have to have been descended from Aaron in the Old Testament or from the line of Abraham. As Christians, we are the royal priesthood, and we can have unfettered access to the throne room of God. We are those priests. We now can present people to God. We are in the Old Testament, the priest was the go-between between God and man, and had to carry out all these sacrifices and things. But as Christians, we are priests, and we have that access to God, and we can draw others into the same access that we have, so that they too can become priests. We are now a people, a nation, but we're not limited to some geographic region. We are part of a new spiritual nation, not based on ethnic identity or geographic boundaries, but rather on allegiance to the heavenly kings. As Christians, we are now a true holy nation. Whether you are born in Croydon, Consett, or Cameroon, you are in the God's nation. You are part of God's race now. You're his special possession. You're owned by God now. You're his. God is now our Lord. And we are able to tell others of the wonderful deeds that he has done. We can declare them. We can proclaim them. As we can talk about how we've turned from darkness into light, we have that story of transformation to tell. And all this has happened. Becoming a royal priesthood, part of a nation, a new race. All this has happened because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. We have now been changed around. What was is now different to what is now through what Christ has done. So that when you're here on a Sunday morning and you're giving someone a coffee, you are serving as part of a team here on Sunday, you are acting out, you are prophetically demonstrating what God has been about for centuries and centuries. When you stop to help someone in the street as you feel prompted by the Holy Spirit, you are a part of a great line of people that have served God. When you're praying into an issue, when you're seeking after God for asking him to help and direct you, you are becoming one of those heroes of faith that for centuries and generations have been calling out to God, asking for help in a situation. We can get so focused on just us as individuals. Actually, we're part of a great sweep of history that God is bringing about, and we are acting out that history now. We are declaring the greatness of God. We're taking time out of our lives, not being selfish and using it for ourselves, but to give to others, being generous to people around us. You are part of that rich history, that those people of faith, those heroes of faith that we can read about. Hebrews 11 classically has the list of these great people, these heroes of faith of the past. Well, we are now in that line. So we read about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. We now speak about Raymond, Jenny, Tim, Helen, Matt, Linda, Anne. These people are now serving the purposes of God. They have taken their place in serving the purposes of God. By serving the body here, in its serving teams, in its ministry, in its outreach, its mission. And within this group here, we have a community that is bonded together by love. And Jesus prayed that we would have unity as a church, that we can declare, as our unity declares, the greatness and the love of God. And I love to see that here. Rich and poor. Educated, uneducated. Black, white, young and old, one in Christ together, brothers and sisters together in Christ. For many people, we would never naturally meet in our normal lives. But God has brought us together for purpose. God has drawn us together and is building this holy temple. He's building that picture of a house. He's building us together for his glory. And we each have a place to play. We each have a part to take up. And it's time to do that now. Even as you've come into the building this morning, you can't have helped but notice all the people that have served you. The car park team, stewards on the door, tea and coffee, the chairs being put out, the worship team, PA, AV, people serving our kids at the moment. Now, there are many others, perhaps up to 50 groups we have across the church, involved in mission or serving. Nobody pays them anything. Nobody pays our serving teams. They do it from love. They do it because they've caught up with what God wants to do. They've caught that sense of the purposes of God, and they've said, yes, I want to be involved. I want to take my place. We want to celebrate those people this morning and thank them for their work and honour them for the work that they do. When we talk about being involved in church, serving mission teams, serving teams, it will be very easy and somewhat predictable at the end of the meeting to have sign-up sheets. Oh, let's go and sign up for something. Yes, put my name down. I'm not doing that this morning. Something that struck me from that prophetic word was that it was God is bringing people into these places. So there's no sign-up at the end of this meeting, but there'll be time to talk. We have a good track record as a church of getting people having their own ideas, their own passions, of actually resourcing them to go and act out and do what they want to do. So it may be a new ministry might open up. As a church, we had a prophetic word quite a while ago, and it's one that I've kept hold of. And it was talking about that we are to go from a corner shop mentality to a supermarket mentality. So not doing things just getting by, but actually scaling everything up to the size of a supermarket. Now this building is part of that fulfillment of that prophetic word. But there's still more to do. In recent months, we have been strengthening many, many of our teams. They've been reflecting what they're doing. They're going up a gear in their serving. Calling on more people, using more resources that we have here within the community here, skills people have. We've been strengthening those teams. So even if you're involved in a team already, I know many people are, what's the next step for your team? What does it mean to go up that next level, that next gear, to move on and go further in the purposes that God has for us here? We don't want to stay the same we were 5 years ago. A year ago, we want to be moving on, pushing things and seeing what God has in store for us, because we have a faithful God. I'm aware there may be guests here this morning. That may not apply directly to you here, but as you go back to your church, what are the challenges you have there? What are the opportunities available to your church at home? It's time to take up your place in the spiritual house that God is building here. And on that note, I want to go back to worship. I want to worship the God who has made all this possible. That through Jesus, we have a community here. We are not a social club. We're not a sporting club. We've got a few of those. But we are brought together and we are united around Jesus Christ and his work, his mission. So we're going to be breaking bread in a little while. But first, I want us to focus again on Jesus, who has made all this possible. From what he has done, he has drawn us into this place. He has put a mission on our heart. He has given a purpose to us as a church to go forward. And we can all have a part to play in that. And I've found that as you get involved in the church, your perspective changes so much. I can remember when I first arrived as a student here. My first year was fine. My second year, I started stewarding. And that was great. And I found my language changed. I didn't talk about your church. I talked about our church. It was my church now, not your church. My language changed as I was involved. So I was part of things. I did my bit to be involved.